can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Welcome to the post-game podcast. Jerry is out this week with Rutgers in Las Vegas. I've got the Eddie Scazzeri with me. Oh, hi there, Eddie.
Oh, hello, podcast people.
This is actually perfect timing. I got an email about a dog.
Okay.
Or actually a direct message about a dog that I would love your take on. And this all started because there's a missing black cat in Bradley Beach.
Yes, I remember from last week's podcast.
Which I really want to be the hero for.
Sure.
And I want to find this cat, so I'm on the lookout. But cats are just so hard to find because they hide.
Yes.
They look very similar, especially this is an all-black cat.
Mm-hmm.
Black cats are a thing. They are quick to move. If they see a person, they'll... But I'm on the lookout. And I did the dumbest thing yesterday. I'm walking my dog. It's 4 o'clock. I see on somebody's porch a black cat chilling. Now, this could be the person's who's lives on the porch, but I'm nearby where the cat's missing from. So I say, you know, I'm going to take a video of this cat and I'm going to send it to the owners and say, hey, I don't know. You know, I tried to get the cat moving around so they could see if it is making movements like their cat, whatever. I take the video. Before I send it to them, I'm in a text exchange about work with Izzo. We're talking about the live show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing talk to text. Then we're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I never send the video. About an hour later, 5 o'clock, I'm eating dinner. It's pitch dark out. I go, oh, damn, I never sent this video. I send the video to the people. They go, hard to tell. Where is this? When was this? Of course, now it's dark out. The cat's not chilling on the thing.
No.
I felt so stupid because I had the cat.
Right.
It was there. If I would have called them, they could have walked over immediately.
Right. Time is of the essence.
And they would have known it is their cat or isn't their cat. I guess, it's hard to tell. You know, you take a video from further away. I didn't go right onto people's property.
Well, of course. And you had Whimsy.
And I had Whimsy with me, right? So I didn't want to scare the cat away. And then I just got stupidly caught up. But the good news is this cat's been missing for... I think like maybe 2 weeks now, a week now. If it is that cat, it's nearby and it's chilling and it'll pop up again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, perhaps people are feeding it.
Yeah. It looked way too comfortable on the porch it was on to not live there.
Yeah.
But cats are like that. They're weird.
They can be, yes.
Cats are weird. So anyway, I got a direct message after that from a fella named Chris.
All right.
And he says, hi, Al. My family and I had adopted this dog from the Humane Society as a puppy, along with another dog. We had the underground fence and all. He had about 2 acres of our 4-acre fenced-in yard. 2 of those acres were also had a fence underground, which I don't really understand.
Well, it's like that electronic fence, I guess. That's what they mean.
An underground fence?
Well, you put the sensors, or the thing that gives the dog the little... negative feedback shock in
okay.
their collar.
I thought an underground fence was like the fence was buried so that if the dog tried to burrow its way out, it would still get
Well, perhaps that is
stuck.
The case, too, where it has an above ground that extends below. That also could be true.
Okay, yeah, well, he's saying the dog had 4 acres to run around on. 2 of the acres had whatever the underground fencing is. He said, so, let's see, we had this this dog runs off, and we look for him for about a week before we assume he's gone for good. About a year later, year later, I swear to you, this dog shows back up in our yard acting like nothing happened. So my son is pumped, and my wife is excited about this dog coming back, like it's something out of a movie. The very next day, a lady shows up with kids in the car and knocks on the door. When I answer the door, she tells me that her husband called her and said he thinks he saw our dog in your yard. And for her to come check. Honest to goodness, he says, she has a daughter in the car and the daughter is crying with joy when they see the dog is at our house. So I tell the lady the dog is there and she is so relieved and telling me how much the kid loved the dog. and how excited they were when he showed up a year before.
Oh, wow.
So I'm left with a decision on whether to tell the lady the dog was ours or not. I decided not to tell her, and then I ended up loading the dog up in this lady's car for her, and I went inside to a disappointed son and a disapproving wife. So I got this email, and I thought, well, why did he not, like, it wasn't just him.
Right.
And he sees a crying kid. It's his kid is also was excited to have the dog back.
Right.
So I asked him, I said, well, what made you give the dog back? He said, several things went through my head in this single moment. One, this dog wasn't so great to begin with. He wouldn't stay in the fenced in area, even after being fence trained multiple times. He wasn't even like a loyal, loving companion, even though the other dog we had at the time was. Number two, this dog had been their pet now for a year or so. This dog had been gone for that long and been living with them. Number three, I couldn't disappoint those little girls. Our two kids at the time, one was a newborn girl who had no idea what this dog was, and a 10-year-old son who was more than capable of handling it. Quote, he didn't love this dog a ton anyway. Four, I didn't want the lady to feel bad for having our dog for a year and not knowing it. Interesting story.
I think he did the right thing.
Really?
I do.
Yeah.
Although I'm a little disappointed with him as a dog owner that he's like, meh. You know, that honestly is a little disappointing. But I do agree with all of his other rationale.
Yeah.
I do.
Right. They had this dog just showed up in their yard one day.
And if he already, he still has the other dog.
He still has the other dog, which seems to be a loving dog for them. This dog is clearly, while not a loving dog for the man whose dog it originally was, they seem to be loving the dog at this new family.
And perhaps if a friendship between the families is, comes from this, then they could still visit that dog, the son at least.
Yeah.
So right. I agree totally with what he did, and I understand why he did it.
Yeah. Right. He's there, and this woman's there with crying kids.
Yeah. I think he did the right thing.
I love the idea that the dog showed up a year later and just, not like super excited, just like it was.
Like, hey, how you doing? When's dinner?
I'm moving back here now.
Yeah.
It's like a divorced couple where like the kid goes to live with the mother and then the kid decides they're going to go live with the father. Yeah. And then they go, I'm going to go back with the mother and go back there where I think I like it a little better back there.
Yeah.
I love that he loaded his own dog into another person's car.
Yeah. But after a year, was it still his dog? Probably not.
Right. It didn't sound like they had the dog for very long when it ran away.
The way you read the story, no.
Yeah, and they had another dog.
Right.
Which became an only dog for that full year.
Yes.
Now this new dog, this other dog's probably like, I don't want this other dog back. I thought we ditched this guy. He wasn't very loving anyway. I saw a very disturbing documentary on Netflix.
A disturbing documentary?
Yeah, it was disturbing. It's called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy.
Okay.
And it's all about how much waste we are making in the world, in the United States, with all of the things we purchase.
From the packaging?
From everything. The packaging to the items themselves. In particular, looking at all of the, what they call now fast fashion, which is this clothing that's cheap, not, hey, you wear it once, you got your money's worth, and all this clothing goes into dumps and into, we ship it off to foreign countries and it's on their beaches. It's like, it was really disgusting.
So it doesn't even hold up after a few washings.
Yeah. And people just get rid of it. Or it's so cheap, made with such cheap materials that people toss it.
Yeah, you and I have had some experience with that type of clothing.
Yeah, we get a lot of cheapo t-shirts and things here. But it also had to do with like phones and electronics and how we're no longer repairing things. You throw it out and get another one. Your big screen TV breaks, no one's coming to fix that.
No.
You're just getting another one, but that big screen's got to go somewhere.
Yeah, and it's got probably got some elements in there that are not that great for going into a landfill.
Yeah, and it really made me think a lot about this. And I've seen documentaries about this before, but again, like, it was fresh in my mind because I just watched it. And it really, like, is very wasteful, and yet we're all, not only, we're all caught up in it because in this country where our retirements are tied to 401ks, and our 401ks only increase in value if companies' stocks go up. And the only way these companies' stocks go up is to keep selling more products.
And to show profit.
And to show profit, yeah.
And, or not just profit, profit growth.
Yeah, so like they're saying, like Apple in particular, the cell phones and the iPads and all that stuff, it's like they, instead of repairing or upgrading, being able to upgrade the phone, you have to just get rid of the phone.
Right.
And we get this idea that we're recycling all this stuff. Like Apple wants your phone to recycle. Recycle electronics here at Best Buy, you know, but it's not really being recycled.
Right. Well, I mean, we know the problems with, aside from paper and glass and some of the plastics,
right?
A lot of the other stuff is not. You know, I think paper legit is, and I think glass legit is.
And I believe aluminum cans.
Another one, yes. But there are, you know, some of those plastics with the higher numbers, like 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, up to 10, I think I've seen. I don't know what's going on with those.
Yeah, I really think we ship them off to foreign countries and they burn them.
Yeah.
I really do think that's...
Yeah, that's not far-fetched.
Yeah. There were so many examples that, with videos and stuff of just like these beautiful beaches in some of these foreign countries that are just all clothing washed up on shore. Mm. Just piles and piles of cheap clothing.
And then, but is it, it's not being dumped, it's being given to them and they just put it there.
Yeah, like I believe these foreign countries purchase the garbage from us. They give us, we give them money. I'm sorry, we give them money. They purchase from us. And then it's like, oh, it's out of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
But we're polluting their land and they don't care about their land for their people.
Well, right. The whoever, the company or the government
who's
taking the money, then just dumps it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing.
Yeah, and I don't know how we fix that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like myself, I hold on to things until they're basically, literally, you know, worn out. So I try in my own way not to contribute. And if I do have clothing, I'll go like you do, you know, with a lot of the free clothes that we get. We'll, you know, donate them. And a lot of them still have tags on them.
Yeah.
And and I feel like the places that I'm giving it to, I think they're actually legit trying to give them out to people who might need them.
Do you take them to an actual place?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, me too. Because in a previous documentary that I watched about fast fashion, just the clothing, there seemed to be a lot of these bins where you could just drop off in bins. That what that is there's a company that's collecting this clothing that is then going to get it, sell it somehow to another place. It was not going to people in need of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just going to be
made into rags.
I don't know what it was doing.
Or some of that. I know I've in some of my medical supplies I get, like the insulin and other things that need to be refrigerated, instead of putting like plastics, or styrofoam to put it in with the ice packs, they'll put this, like, it's like shredded up clothes and fiber that is formed into a, you know, like a box, and then that insulates it, probably not as well as styrofoam, but pretty good for what it's needed for, to insulate the, or to keep the cold in. So I've seen that done with fabric.
Yeah. But it's unfortunate because if that were to happen and we go, you know what? iPhones, computers, they're all going to be fixable now, upgradable. Those companies will lose stock price.
Sure.
And we will lose retirement funds.
Right.
So we're all looped into this.
Correct.
Crap.
And that's just because of the perception. If you have to grow, you have to grow, you have to grow, which is not really true. If you're a company that is making a good profit, you know, what's wrong with having no growth, but that same profit, and you're providing the same services, but it's all about you got to grow, you got to grow. It's that mentality of growth, growth, growth. And if you're not growing, then you're dying, which is not true. I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's for, like, I think if your company is not, if your company is not public, mm-hmm. where you have a stock, I think that's very true. I think if your company makes $1 million a year, that for the rest of your life, that'd be terrific. But these companies that are publicly traded, they all have to show that growth year over year mm-hmm. over year. And I think that's why we get these new iPhones where, for the most part, nothing changes all that much.
Yeah, it's
with
like
them.
Two new features.
Yeah, maybe like the camera gets upgraded. Now, if you look between like the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 13, yeah, that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. But these like little incremental things where it's just, and people get the latest phone, they need another big TV when your big TV is fine.
And cars also.
That was a big one actually listed in the movie.
Because I hold on to my cars forever. I will have them for 200 plus thousand miles.
Yeah.
And I just basically run them into the ground to the point where it's not like, you know, sure, would I like to have a car with a built-in GPS and an easier sync to my iPhone? Sure. Would I like to have a car that tells me which tire is flat, which is infuriating when you don't know which one has lost pressure?
Yeah.
Yes. But is it that important to me? No. And am I willing to wait until I buy a new car and I can get that feature? Sure. So I've had my Honda Fit now for over 10 years. And I had my Honda Civic Hybrid before that for over 10 years. And I just, you know, that's just, I'm not, it doesn't motivate, like I'm not motivated to constantly get new and the best and upgraded and all that stuff.
There was a guy in this documentary who was fixing iPhones. He's replacing batteries, and he got a, like the Apple came to him and said, you're not allowed to. And they even changed the way they did the casings of the phone. Mm-hmm. They were like glued them shut as opposed to they used to have like little screws mm-hmm. where people that were into electronics could tinker and fix things. And they don't want any part of that.
Right. They want in built-in obsolescence.
Like, where, I still don't know, where is all this garbage going?
Yeah. I don't know. And if you remember, like, appliances, they used to last decades. Decades. When I moved into my house in 1991, I don't know if I told you this story, we had an old GE dishwasher. And after a few years, it finally had, you know, given up. And we checked the model, and we called, like, GE. And it was like, oh, my God, this is from the 60s, literally. So it was like, wow. You know, but now you're lucky if you get a decade out of them.
Right. And you're right. Where are those appliances going?
Mm-hmm. And that's your stove and your washer and your refrigerator and your washer and dryer, everything. It's just built-in obsolescence.
We had a dryer in our house growing up that caught fire
mm-hmm.
and it got fixed. We did not get a new dryer, even though it caught fire.
This was an electric or gas?
Gas.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just replaced whatever caught fire.
Oofa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really strange how I just don't know where all the garbage is. The garbage that's not going to decompose.
Yeah.
The food garbage, I understand, but the packaging and the every little thing. And just think of like how much garbage just one person produces.
Sure. Or just look and the way we purchase things now through Amazon. You know, and you can do the thing where like Amazon Monday. So, you know, unless you desperately need it, which, you know, people feel that they do now, I want it, you know, today, I want it within a few hours or at least by tomorrow. And they don't say, like we do the Amazon Mondays, we try to get as much stuff on Monday instead of...
I don't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. I don't know if it's still a thing, actually. I think it is, where, like, especially if you have regular deliveries, like subscribe stuff that you have for Amazon, it'll all come on the same day wherever
that's a good
possible.
Idea.
And so we try to do that. But there's so many, you know, like how many days of the week do we get Amazon? It's like 5 days a week, you know, because my wife is buying this or that for her business. And those she can't wait for if it's a product she has to send out. And there's just a ton of cardboard and then a ton of packaging. And it's, you know, it's bothersome.
Yeah, because they also talk about how the companies will put on the packaging and on the products, how it's all recyclable. But it doesn't get recycled.
Well, again, I think cardboard does. I'm yeah. okay with cardboard because I really do think, because I worked in a paper mill in Clark, New Jersey. And I think it's closed now for United States Gypsum. And they used to make the paper that went on either side of the sheetrock on the wallboard. But that part of the plant just, or that part that of the company just made the paper on these huge rolls. And they used to get bales of paper and bales of cardboard, like tons and tons, that went into this big thing where it was all mixed with some stuff and made a slurry, and then they would make new paper out of that.
Oh, that's good.
So I know paper is, and it's relatively easy, and that technology has been around for a long time. So I think cardboard and most paper, especially cardboard, is recycled.
It's really the plastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because glass and, like you say, the aluminum, those are, you know, we've got a handle on those recycling. All these newer plastics, or maybe it's just something that it really never was that recyclable to begin
yeah,
with.
If you made,
I think your, you know, a Coke bottle, your milk carton, a plastic milk jug, I think those are, because that's... There's so many of them. I think it would, and if it has a one or a two, I know it's easier to recycle. But those higher numbers, I don't know what's being done.
Right, and I think a lot of people, if you're not educated about this or don't happen to see something about this, you think, okay, so I'm buying this Poland Spring bottle. No big deal. I'm putting in recycling. It's going to be another Poland Spring bottle, mm-hmm. which it's not.
No.
And that's the part that's very bad.
Yeah, yeah. But again, Poland Spring, I think that kind of thing maybe is, but I don't even know for sure.
Yeah.
I've never done a deep dive. But just think about all your laundry containers.
Yeah.
And that's a big, thick plastic. I don't
yeah.
even know what number
right.
those are.
Right, those are thick plastic.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of volume
yeah.
and cumulatively a lot of tonnage of just plastic.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Where is it all?
I don't know.
On those beaches,
that's
that
on
I
the
see.
Beaches.
All right, Eddie, let's do the warm-up show. I did that with CeeLo. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do another one of these, you and I. Yeah?
Yes.
And then tomorrow I'll be with CeeLo in the morning again and Eddie in the postgame.
Mm-hmm.
CeeLo!